We're going to be doing Mizmor Pei Dalet, the 84th Psalm. I divided this in accordance with the Shita of the Malbim, again, who does a good job of dividing these things up for us. But I also wanted to highlight for you the fact that there are some musical themes and some words that are going to get repeated, things that you've heard before. And there might be some lines here that you'll say, oh, these are familiar, I've heard this one before. Namely, I underline the word Ashrei, which appears three times here, including that very famous line that you all know, Ashrei Yoshvei Ve'etzecha Od Yalelucha Sela. We also have a reference to Hashem Tzvakot. Hashem Tzvakot. Hashem Elokim Tzvakot. Hashem Tzvakot. And there's a reason for this. And the reason for this is that this is, to a large degree, a national anthem. And Hashem Tzvakot is not merely, they say, the God of hosts, Keilu, right? As if it was God over all of the forces that would be, or the God of all the angels, or all the celestial beings, but it also the God of all of the hosts, the multitudes of Jews. It is as if we are the ones that are heralding his coming into this world. We are the ones that carry his chariot. We bring it here. And so in that sense, we are the ones that bear his message. And therefore, when we put this Hashem Tzvakot, it is very much a national idea. And a national idea that it is not merely that we are the ones that recognize him, but that we are the ones that disseminate him. We are, if you like, the armies of God. This is what we are, essentially. And the word tzava serves, you know, the word host, it means an army. It means a royal guard. Lamnatzeach al hagitit livnei korach mizmor. I will not go into what the gitit is. We've already spoken in the past that we really don't know what that is, if it's a musical instrument, if it is not, if this is something like saying concerto for the piano or concerto for the gitit. But it is something that is written by Bnei Korach. And Bnei Korach, of course, this week we have Parshat Korach. Bnei Korach were Levim that are descendants of Korach, who was swallowed up by the earth, but who became renowned for their ability to sing and to serve in Beit HaMikdash. And we don't know the age of when this was written, but you can take a guess. And the guess is, you will soon see, that whoever is writing this, Beit HaMikdash no longer exists. It is after the destruction. Is it after the destruction of one? Is it a destruction of two? In other words, is this during the period of Bavel? Or is this after the destruction of the second Bayit, before the Tanakh was canonized? So is it at this time when we are having Bnei Korach, who are Levim, who no longer have a place to serve, but who still yearn and speak for the people? They were, if like, the spokesman, the Balei Tefillah, who spoke for the people. And it comes with full yearning for none other than Yerushalayim. Given that it's 50 years since the reunion, I thought this might be inappropriate. My yididot mishkenotshecha Hashem Tzvakot. The word yididot implies ahuvot, beloved, chavivot, cherished. And the term yididut is used very rarely. We do have a man called Yiditun that writes some of the Mizmorei Tehillim, but yididot implies this incredible affection. Oh, how affectionate are mishkenotecha. Now, in the morning, when we say, Matovu oralecha Yaakov, mishkenotecha Yisrael, we refer not to one mishkan, but to several. And you see that this is plural. So it would have been, oh, how lovely, oh, how beloved were the resting places of your, where Hashem rested, if you like, his shechina, mishkenotecha. Others argue that Hashem told us to build the Mishkan v'shachanti b'tocham, and I will dwell in them. If that's the case, Mishkanot Hashem are not buildings. They're not physical geographical locations. They are instead every heart that makes room for God. And hence the idea of Hashem Tzvakot, Hashem, whose armies we are, he dwells in us. How beloved are the dwelling places of Hashem, meaning every Jew who has a room in his heart for it. You will soon see how that's picked up later on. But there's clearly a yearning for Beit HaMikdash number one, perhaps Beit HaMikdash number two, perhaps the Mishkan as it once was. And therefore the plural indicates, for those who argue that this was written after the Second Commonwealth, for the places that once were. Others argued Mishkanotecha is the Batei Knesiyot and Batei Midrashot, because in Eretz Yisrael, even at the time of Beit HaMikdash, they did not have Bamot once Beit HaMikdash was built. In other words, they didn't have altars where they brought sacrifices. Once Beit HaMikdash was built, it was forbidden. But there were shuls where people davened and got together. You went to Yerushalayim, if you were lucky, three times a year, you understand? But otherwise, they had places of assembly, of learning. And we have, actually, ruins of synagogues in the north, in Tzipori, in other places. And some of them are even from the time of the temple, because they were actually assembly places where people davened, where people learned Torah. So again, that's why we said, Matovu o'alecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael. Oh, how lovely. Yearning. Then it's not only for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but of the destruction of all of the shuls, all of the batei midrash, all of the yeshivot that once were. And as a result, you can see why the next line comes along. Nichsefa v'gam kalta nafshi. Oh, how my soul yearns. And kalot means end. Almost as if you say expires. My soul expires. It yearns so much, it yearns to the death, if you like. Ibn Ezra says, it not only yearns and longs for it, it is as if my soul goes out in its yearning. Lechatzchot Hashem, for the courtyards of God. Clearly, whoever it is that's writing this misses something. Something is gone. And he's talking with great nostalgia about what once was and bemoans it. Libi ubisari yiranenu ekel chai. My heart, my flesh will sing, will glory to a living God. So those places might be dead, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is alive. And though I don't have Beit HaMikdash, I continue to sing, I continue to praise, because that was the job of the Levim. And he says, and I don't just do it with my heart, my flesh, because there's this sense of dancing, of exalting. I continue to do that. However, and between this, you know, incredible ecstasy, Gam tzipor matzah bayit udror ken la. Even the bird found a home. And the dror is a swallow or some kind. The word dror itself means freedom. And it's this free flight bird. She has a nest. Asher shata efrocheha, and she puts her little babies, her baby birds, et mizbechotecha, at your altars. So some say that this is a reissue of the dove and the turtle dove that used to be put on the altar because people brought those as sacrifice. And others say, no, the places that once were places of worship, shuls, temples, have now become ruins and homes for birds. They too place it in what once was the place of the Mizbeach, where the altars once was. But they have a home. Now you know full well that we often refer to Am Yisrael as this bird, right? Little tiny bird, cast among the winds, right? Flying from place to place. And that's what the Medrash Agadah that Rashi cites. He says, this is about Knesset Yisrael, and there's a bemoaning. Even a bird found a home. Even the swallow finds a nest, and by implication, except me. I have no home. I'm homeless. I'm in exile. I have been scattered to the winds. Hashem Tzvakot Malki V'Elokai. Keep notice how, and nevertheless, Hashem, you are still my King and my God. Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. Oh, how happy are those that get to live in your home. Od Yehalelucha Selah. They will again someday praise you. In other words, we will someday return. We will someday again come back, and we will continue to sing your praises. But now we don't have Beit HaMikdash, and we don't have Eretz Yisrael, according to this author, and we don't have our own home. What do we have? Ashrei. You see how we pick up the same theme in the second stanza? Ashrei Adam Ozlobach. How happy is the human being whose strength comes from you, who sees that his entire strength is his connection to you, not necessarily to the land. He has still not, remember the insistence is, I may not have a homeland anymore, but I have my God. And he's with me wherever it is that I go. And what does this person have? Misilot bilvavam. And now we have a grammatical problem. Levavam is their hearts. But Adam is singular. Therefore, some of the Mefarshim tell us that the reference is both to Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha and Ashrei Adam Ozlobach. Be it one who actually lives in Israel and the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and lives near the Beit HaMikdash, or lives inside the Mishkan, or the Beit Midrash, or the Beit Knesset, and includes also, happy is the one who sees that his strength really comes from you, be he in the land of Israel, be he outside the Bes Medrash, somebody who's working, somebody who's out in that cold, hard world, as long as they have what? Misilot bilvavam, pathways in their hearts. Radak tells us, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha is past tense. He argues that this was the past. They were the Kohanim, they were the Chachomim in the time of the temple. Ashrei Adam Ozlobach is for the future. These are the people who will yet merit, Emil Tzashem, to see Beit HaMikdash rebuilt on condition that Mesilot Bilvavam, as long as there are pathways in their heart. What are the pathways in their heart? According to Medrash Rabbah in Eicha, these are the pathways of Torah, the ways of the Torah. And if they are carved out in your heart, it will lead you back to Hashem, but it will also ultimately lead you back to Eretz Yisrael, and as a result of that, lead back to the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. Though they are currently Ovrei Be'emek Hapacha, though they are currently crossing the Valley of Tears, the Vale of Tears, Emek Hapacha. What will they do in Emek Hapacha? Ma'ayan Yeshituhu. They will place in that Valley of Tears a spring. You remember that Torah is a spring, right? Something that revives you. Gam Brachot. And they can bring down even blessings, which will be cloaking the moreh. Now we have a big problem about what Emek HaBacha is and what the moreh is. And here is where our mefoshim diverge. Rashi, according to the Medrash of Chazal, tells us that the Emek HaBacha with an Aleph at the end is the same thing as Emek HaBacha with a Hey at the end. It is those that are in the depths of hell. Those that are in the Gehenom, who scream and cry there, who fill it up with the spring of their tears, nevertheless do what? Gam brachot, they bench God, even in hell, saying, we got what we deserved, for he is the more, he is the teacher, he is the one that showed us the pathways to Gan Eden, but we refused to listen. Mitzudat David says, this is written by Bnei Korach, this is about the Mishkenot of Hashem, this is all about the scene, about the yearning for the remarkable times when we used to go up to Yerushalayim. The great parades of people that would come with their animals festooned and dressed the way they did, singing along the way coming up to Yerushalayim, and the horrible yearning and the nostalgic memories that this person has of what once was. And as they used to come up from the south, from the Negev, in order to come up to Har HaBayit, you have to come through a place called Emek HaBacha. Now, what is the Bacha? The Bacha is a name of a tree. They say that the Bacha is either the weeping willow or something that is similar to what we would think of as the quaking poplars. When they used to come from the south, they would have to come through an Emek HaBacha, and it is dry and arid, and these trees used to grow there. Okay? And that is what it's referring to. Others tell us, no, it's referring to Gei Ben Hinnom, hence Gehenna. Gei Ben Hinnom is that valley, that chasm, right outside of near Beit HaMikdash. You understand that they used to come up from that way. And because that was once the place where they used to sacrifice children to the Molech, it became known as the chasm, the gorge of Ben Hinnom, hence the idea of Gehenom. You understand? Because of the fires that burned there, and they burned children alive there to the Molech. And as a result, it was also called Emek HaBacha, the Valley of Crying. This apparently, the dwellers of Yerushalayim and its environs used to prepare water for the Olei Regel. So Yeshituhu Ma'ayan and Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu had some springs. We have the Shiloh, we have springs there, so that when they come there, they would quench their thirst. But the quenching of the thirst is a double entendre. They literally came up through this hard area to quench their thirst, but they came there to quench their spiritual thirst with Torah when they came up to Yerushalayim. And there they also sought blessings, Gam Brachot. And who is the Moré? The Moré is the teacher. The teacher being whoever the teacher was at the time, or the Rabbeinu Shlomo himself, would be cloaked in blessings for those who would come there and hand them over to him. Yet others tell us that the word Bacha comes from the word Navoch, the perplexed. And it means the valley of those that are lost and perplexed, and is a reference to Golus, where people have lost their way. And those people go through the valley, this dark, deep place, where they're not only crying, but there's a double entendre here of the sense that they're lost, they don't know where God is, they don't know what is happening here. And therefore, Malbim says this is a reference to Bavel. And there their teachers will place for them blessings and water, meaning giving them Torah even in Golus, so that they can find their way back and eventually make it back, not only to God, but ultimately to also to Eretz Yisrael and to return there. And they will do what? Yelchu Michail El Chayil. Now you all know that. The word Chayil implying strength. as they go up, they're going from strength to strength, rising spiritually from one level to another level. Rashi says they go from Beis HaMedrash to Beit HaKnesset until they can finally be zoche, until they can merit to see even the face of God himself, Betzion, and if not in Zion, at least up in heaven. That was the idea of going from strength to strength, you understand? To do what? Yera'eh. To be shown, to show your face, El Elokim Betzion. Because the commandment of Aliyah LaRegel was to come and not to see, but to be seen, to show yourself. But remember, this was the place of Har HaMoriah. And Har HaMoriah, where Avraham Avinu had to bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice. And he called this place Hashem Yireh, and this place becomes the place Hashem Yireh. Hashem will be shown, Hashem will choose. But you'll also remember that when Yitzchak asked his father, here is the fire and here is the knife, so where is the lamb? And he says, Hashem Yireh lo hasela ola. Hashem will see for himself. That's very much like the word yireh, meaning to choose, to opt to choose. Like you're going shopping, and they ask you, can I help you? And you say, I'm just looking. But actually, you're looking for something. You're looking what you can choose. You're looking through things to pick out what you want. So the term here is used, yireh, you will be the chosen one for God, b'tzion, in Zion, to come back to Zion, so that you will finally merit to be able to come back and say, I'm here, God. You see, you can see me, I've come back home. And they will go from strength to strength. Others tell us that the word chayil does not mean, and Ibn Ezra tells us this, it does not mean necessarily strength. It can mean tzva nashim, a collection of people, like an army. Chayal is a soldier. And sochel is troops. They will go from troops to troops. In other words, waves of aliyah. Coming back to show their faces in Zion. That is the way Ibn Ezra chooses. That is one position that he presents. And a second position is that the word chil from chol, v'choma, refers to the fact that they used to build fortifications around cities by building walls, and it was double walls, and inside it was insulated with chol, with sand. So they used to pour it in. So when you use the word about Yerushalayim, and there's many places where they will say that you should be looking at cheloteha, it doesn't mean see its troops, it means see its walls. They go from fortification to fortification. They go from city to city. They're wandering throughout history until they can finally come back to Zion to show their faces. But you see, the idea remains eventually the same. This yearning to come back to our homeland. This yearning to finally again have not only our sovereignty, but God's sovereignty over this land. Hashem Elokim Tzvakot, but now referring to him again, Shim'a Tfilati, please listen to my prayer, Hazina Elokai Yaakov Sela. But until then, until I can come back there, I beg God, please listen to my prayer, hear me out, God of Jacob. Again, do you see how this constant thing, I'm here, I'd like to be there, but until I'm there, you're still here with me. Don't turn me away. He then proceeds to the third line, which becomes this prayer. Magineinu re'e Elokim. Magineinu, magen, is a shield. Rashi says this shield is Beit HaMikdash. God, please see again. Almost as if, you know, make it real so that we can see it again, so we can see it. Magineinu re'e Elokim, please see again, look at it again. God, look at these walls again. V'habet pnei mishichecha, and stare at the face of your anointed one. Rashi tells us this is none other than David HaMelech. And what does he tell us there? He says, please God, consider, look at all of the great deeds that he did, all of the work that he put in to build Beit HaMikdash, which you know that he did not build himself. But he laid out all the plans. Hashem told him he couldn't build it. His son would. Why is he using this kind of an image, in my opinion? Is that he's given up on the idea that he himself will build it. Yeah. But if I prepare the pathways, it's as if I built it. If I do everything to prepare for it, it's ke'ilu. I laid the groundwork. I put the foundation for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. Radak disagrees. He says, Magineinu re'e Elokim. See to it that you are our shield, and that this is a reference to God, not the Beit HaMikdash. Habet pnei mishichecha, please bring Moshiach tzidkenu b'mheira b'yameinu. That's the way he writes it, Radak. Okay? For why? Ki tov yom b'chatzerecha, because it's good to live one day in your courtyards, mi'elef, than 1,000. And you see how that nothing's written there? You can finish the thought. 1,000 years, 1,000 days, where? In Golos, I'd rather live. So Rashi tells us, give me one day, even if tomorrow I die, rather than 1,000 years, not in my homeland. I'd rather have one day. This inspired people such as Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who wrote all of his songs of Tzion, right? Where he said, Libi b'mizrach ve'anochi b'sof ma'arav. My heart is in the east, though I am at the end of the west, being in Spain. That was the end of the known world. And eventually he makes it back to Eretz Yisrael, and legend has it that he came, and he managed to come to the Kotel, where he was killed. Who, by the way, you understand, if the Rambam made it to Eretz Yisrael, they walked, partially sailed, sometimes walked, sometimes rode camels across all of North Africa, all through Egypt, and made it across anything to come to Eretz Yisrael, even if it meant that they ultimately, what would happen? At best, I would die. If I could make it there one day, that's good enough. That is close enough. Tov li kacha. That's Rashi's position. Bacharti histofef bebeit Elokai. I have chosen. Now the word lihistofef usually means lihitstofef, which means to be crowded in a tight place. I'd rather be in a tight little vase in the house of Hashem rather than live in grand expanses elsewhere. However, the word histofef comes from the shoresh saf. It's not with a tzadi, which means to be crowded. It's saf. I'd rather find myself on the threshold of the house of God, meaning even if I can't enter, if I could just be near the door, than to live be'ohalei resha, to live in tents of evil. What are the tents of evil? Sforno says, amongst the nations. And who knew it better than they did? Right? You no sooner lived in one place when they kicked you out and you went to the next place. Then you went to the next place and then eventually they kicked you out. First they put you in a ghetto, then they threw you out again. And you were constantly living precariously this way. Malbim says, no, Oalei Resha, even if they are big palaces and manors that look so secure, I choose to live on like a poor man who finds shelter on somebody's threshold, not even going into the door. I'd rather be there. Radak says, Ohalei Resha is the tense of evil, which is all of the dealings, the business of this world, and the terror and the worry about all day long what's going to happen with my money and what's going to happen tomorrow, this constant materialistic world. And that's the way he views it. And Rashi simply says, I'd rather live precariously in Israel than live comfortably among the goyim, where I might be infected by their worldview. Kish shemesh umagen Hashem Elokim. For God is both my sun and my shield, almost as if he's both my sun and my parasol. The sun can be healing, and the sun can be burning. Depends who you are. Rashi also looks at the word sun, shemesh, as a term used for shinei choma. It's the teeth of the walls. You know how they used to put these...
Crenellations.
What are they called?
Crenellations.
Crenellations. There you go. So he sees them as crenellations because in a sense they look like rays. You understand? So God is my... In other words, I don't need big fortresses. I don't need big armies. God is my fortress. He's the one that will take care of me. And, of course, he's my light. Hadak says, no. He is my sun in the sense that he opens up my eyes and I can see and understand in the darkness of this golos. It's not what he will be in Eretz Yisrael. It's what now that I'm... It's back and forth. Remember, I want to go to Israel, but I'm stuck here. Now that I'm here in the darkness of golos, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who is my sun. He's the one that brings some warmth, some light into the darkness of my world. And he is also my protector from the persecution of the goyim. This is what he tells us here. Shemesh umagen Hashem Elokim. But more importantly, chen v'chavod yiten Hashem. May God please give us charm and honor amongst the goyim, so that they won't persecute us, so that they honor us. Let him at least, in a sense, this is a prayer. Sfono says, God is the shemesh. Light opens up my eyes to see the wonders of this world and this creation. But he is my protector, my shield, from making mistakes. Because in looking at creation, you might say that's all there is. You might become a deist. So he's my protector from making errors and not being misled by what my eyes see. Malbim tells us, the same sun can illuminate and it can burn. To tell us that the Yisurim, the fires that destroyed us in this world, are also the source from which new light and new redemption will occur. Chevlei Moshiach, the difficult times coming before Moshiach, are described as a furnace, a burning furnace. So in that sense, this person is suffering through a great deal, but knows that we will, if not all of us make it, a remnant will survive. And then he will give that remnant chen v'kavod. They will be considered a... By the way, just the difference in our lives, in the quality of our lives, in the amount of Torah that's being learned from 1930 till now. In not merely our sovereignty, but also in our position. Now, it's dangerous. We're always living with terror, right? They're going to say, oh, there's too many Jews up there in government. Lo yimna tov. God will never withhold good. Laholchim betamim. To those who walk with him in innocence, in wholesomeness, meaning not in hypocrisy, in the heart and in the action, inside and outside. Hashem tzvakot. Ashrei Adam boteach bach. Happy is the one who has his trust in you, who relies on you. So if you simply took the word Ashrei, look at how somebody who's in golos, who's lost it all, comforts himself. First, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, oh how happy they were, which would imply that we're not. Then he goes and says, Ashrei Adam ozlo bach. Happy is the person who sees that his strength comes from you as long as the pathways are in the heart. And finally, happy is the one whose trust, who puts complete bitochon in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam.